Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 9, day 1 of our study of Ezra. I'm your host, Aaron Hibbs, and today we're talking about Ezra 9, 1 through 2. Hey, real quick, if you'd like more info on the 10-week Bible study, head over to 10weekbible.com today. We've got lots of helpful resources, links to studies you can lead or read, and a place to sign up for our email list where we will send out weekly updates about the current study as well as news about upcoming studies. All right, thanks. With that, let's jump back into it. Welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. I'm your host, Aaron Hibbs. Would you join me as we pray before we start today? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Speak to us. Fill our hearts with the knowledge of you. Touch us today through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. We'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Ezra chapter 9, starting in verse 1. After these things had been done, the leaders came to me and said, "The people of Israel, including the priests and the Levites, have not kept themselves separate from the neighboring peoples with their detestable practices, like those of the Canaanites, Hittites, Perizzites, Jebusites, Ammonites, Moabites, Egyptians, and Amorites." The after these things was Ezra came with his giant entourage of people. They took their three-day break. And then they came back together and they counted up all of the articles of gold and silver and bronze they'd brought with them, all of the money. And then they took animals either that they'd brought with them or that they purchased with that money, and they sacrificed. They had this huge sacrifice that Artaxerxes had commanded Ezra to make, and that Ezra was very excited to make. He came and made that on behalf of all Israel, and then was there to get ready to begin working, teaching the people of Israel, the people in Jerusalem and Judea, the law. And before he even gets much of a chance to do that, at least from his perspective, now when we read Nehemiah, we get a little bit more into to that picture than we do here to some extent. But basically, the people come to Ezra and say, by the way, we've been living here for 70-ish years, Ezra, and there's some things going on that you may not like, so we might as well just go ahead and tell you now. We have intermarried with the people that are here, and so that may not sound like that big a deal. Here in America, we intermarry amongst races and ethnicities all of the time, and there's a time when it was actually illegal for, say, white people to marry black people and things like that. And we almost universally look at that and say, no, that should not have been illegal. That was a bad idea. We shouldn't be mingling with all of that kind of stuff like that. And so it can be easy to look at this and say, well, why did God hate the Canaanites and Hittites, and why was he so against this? And it's these kinds of passages specifically that were actually used by Christians during times past to justify, making it illegal to have interracial marriages and things like that. So these are very weighty passages for us to discuss today because of our own personal cultural baggage that we carry into this. And there's some very clear and very discernible reasons why this was so important to the Lord, and why this became so important to Ezra and this entire generation. Like, what's going to happen for the next two chapters if we view this through our lens and our history as Americans, what I am, and as Westerners specifically? I have a feeling we'll get derailed with what this actually means. And so we have to view this through the lens of how the Lord saw this and how the Lord felt about his people, the Israelites specifically, and why he told them not to intermarry. And this goes back to the law of Moses. The Lord made this clear over and over again. There is not one single place where you can go and say, well, that's the place. It's the Old Testament is replete with places where the Lord said, do not do this. He told the Israelites, do not intermarry. And he almost always gave the reason. And the reason was, if you intermarry, you will get sucked into worshiping their gods. And the unspoken part of that, I mean, that's bad enough, right? Okay, so one of the Ten Commandments is you don't have any other gods before me. So if you are worshiping other gods because you've married foreign women or whatever, then you've already broken one of the first of the Ten Commandments. But the underlying reason behind that is all of these false religions were terrible. They were absolutely terrible. I mean, we're talking human sacrifice, temple shrine prostitution. I mean, just every bad, immoral thing you can imagine, that's what was a part of most, if not all, of these pagan religions. And so not only were they taking you away from the one true God, they were actually thrusting you into a life of just destruction and bitterness and sadness in so many different ways. And so that's the why behind the Lord said, don't intermarry. Now, even beyond that, and this is one of those things where we have to be very careful how we apply it. Not everything we read in scripture, and people are always looking, what's the application for me today? And one of the reasons why by trying to do that with every single passage is not a good idea is because every single passage does not apply. And one of the fundamental problems with people in generations past that made interracial marriage illegal was they were trying to apply these passages to their situation and it didn't apply to them. This was a specific thing that the Lord told to the Israelites. He said, you don't intermarry. He didn't give that command to the Egyptians. He didn't give that command to the Amorites, Hittites, Canaanites. We don't find that command from God anywhere else in Scripture. Now, it may have been something that other cultures were keen to do to preserve their cultural identity. That continues today. Places like Japan, they're very concerned with preserving their cultural identity through basically preserving their race as Japanese people. But that's not a command that we see God give anybody else in Scripture. Only the Israelites, only the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And one of the reasons for that is he specifically chose them to be a sign to the earth. He chose them for something above and beyond what a Gentile like me has been chosen for. This is an ordination of the Lord. In the same way that out of those 12 tribes of Israel, God chose the tribe of Levi. And then out of the clans of the tribe of Levi, he chose the clan of Aaron specifically to be his priests. That's how the ordination of the Lord works. And of all the peoples on the earth, he specifically chose and ordained the Israelites to be his people and to display his love and grace to the earth. Now, they weren't always very good at that. They weren't much good at that through most of the history, but if I'm honest, as Christians, haven't been much good at that through most of Christian history either. Certainly not at times. And so this intermarriage thing, this doesn't apply to you and me if you're a Gentile. Now, if you're a Jew, if you are descendant of, if you're an Israelite, I'm not going to tell you that this doesn't still apply to you. I'm not even going to get in the weeds on that. You need to take that between you and the Lord. But from what I can tell, I have too much fear of the Lord to even begin to tell a Jewish person that you're okay to intermarry with someone else, because all throughout the scripture, I can't find anywhere where it says that's okay today for some reason. Again, that's between you and the Lord. But when we look at this, we have to understand this in context, that as a Gentile, this does not apply to me. Verse 2. They have taken some of their daughters as wives for themselves and their sons and have mingled the holy race with the peoples around them. And the leaders and officials have led the way in this unfaithfulness. And here is the biggest problem. This was the same problem when the people were on the east side of the Jordan. They came to Moses and they say, hey, Moses, Some of the people have intermarried with the people here that we're around. And by the way, it's not just some of the people, it's actually the elders. It's the leaders of the tribes of Israel. And this led to the Lord's anger breaking out against the people and him actually sending a plague and starting to wipe out the people because of this unfaithfulness. And again, this was this level of unfaithfulness, like 5 minutes after Moses comes down with the mandate, don't intermarry with anybody else, right? He comes off the mountain, and I'm saying 5 minutes a little bit facetiously. It's like 40 years later-ish, and they're intermarrying. But basically, all of these people, they've known the story of their unfaithfulness, and they knew that they weren't supposed to intermarry, and they did it anyway. And so it led to this outbreak of plague that kills thousands upon thousands of the Israelites until one of the priests goes and he actually puts to death several of the leaders of Israel who had done this. And so when they come to Ezra, they're telling him this based on their understanding of this story from Deuteronomy and from Ezra. Ezra is going to take this very seriously because of his understanding of this story that we find in the book of Deuteronomy. And so Ezra is going to react very severely to this news because this is a huge deal. And again, the reasons why can be applicable. The New Testament tells us that we shouldn't be unequally yoked for Gentiles. Is like a Christian shouldn't like just rush into marriage with a non-Christian because you're going to have these issues here if you're married to a non-Christian, someone who follows pagan gods or is an atheist or something like that. There's going to be that rub that they're basically serving a different God than you, even if their God is themselves. Sometimes people who claim to be Christians, their God is still themselves, and that creates problems. But the issue here is not that this necessarily has application to us, but it definitely has application to these Israelites. And this is super important. And I guess what I'm saying is, again, I want to make it very clear that this has been used as a proof text for why races shouldn't intermarry. And that's a bad proof text. That's not what this is saying. This is specific to the Israelites, but it's very important for the Israelites. Okay. If I've said something offensive or bothers you, or you have questions about that, please don't hesitate to send me an email. You can find all of my contact information in the show notes in the description. I would love to hear from you if any of these things, and these things can be very challenging and very difficult because, again, of the baggage that we have in our culture. So I encourage you to reach out to me if you have any questions or comments. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time. Hey, thanks for tuning into the 10-week Bible study podcast. If you've enjoyed this podcast, would you consider leaving a review for it on your podcast app of choice? It really helps other people find out about this podcast, and my heart is for people to fall in love with God's word. Thank you.